Well, good morning, y'all. We're going to get you toe-tapping here right out of the chute this morning. On the Independence Day special edition of Rosie on the House. Good morning. Here with our regular cast of characters, broadcast engineer, Mr. Mike Riesch. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you getting up every Saturday morning. My son, Romy Romero. Romy, good morning there, cowboy.
I'm here.
Yeah, baby.
I'm ready for an education. I got my notes.
All right.
I got my pad of paper.
Yes. Well, we got.
I am classroom phobic.
Classroom
claustrophobic. I got to find a word to put all that together. But man, I sure like it when we got Dr. Dean in.
I mean, we got a special guest here. We got to do some educating here this morning. My wife, of course, sweet Jennifer. Good morning, babe.
Good morning.
You ready for this?
I am.
All right.
Anticipating.
Generally around the holiday events or whenever we can steal him away from his world travels, we invite Dr. David Dean, assistant professor of history from Grand Canyon University from right here in town, to come in and share with us about some of the more entertaining and educational highlights of any one particular holiday. So, of course, we brought him in and asked him to talk July 4th. Dr. Dean, thank you so much for coming in.
Good morning. Glad to be here again.
Now, folks, what y'all need to know, you know, I'm going to peel back the curtain and show you a glimpse behind the scenes here, what goes on under the in the tent. Dr. Dean, we've kind of had this standing date here because we knew we'd like to have him come in and talk about Revolutionary War and Founding Fathers all around July 4th. I don't know. We made this appointment last time you were here, maybe Memorial Day or April 15th. Oh, Tax Day. That's right. That was a great broadcast. So he.
That was the only thing good about that.
He prepares. How many pages is this?
24 pages.
He puts together a 24-page directory of what we're going to talk about.
Now, you know why he does that?
In an hour.
He's trying to corral you. He doesn't like.
Well, before we get to this,
you knew it was coming.
I'm going to throw you some easy ones.
Sure.
Okay. Before we get into a conversation about Independence Day, Founding Fathers, Declaration of Independence, can I just get a couple definitions?
Sure.
What's a Tory?
A Tory would have been one of the political parties of the British realm in Parliament at the time. And so they just basically represent the conservative side. And what I mean by conservative in that case would be kind of the king's side of policies and those kind of things.
Okay. What's a loyalist?
A loyalist would have been someone here in the Americas, in the colonies, that would, during the revolutionary period of time, would have signed their allegiances or had announced their allegiances to the crown, to the king, as opposed to the revolution.
But a loyalist wasn't necessarily a Tory.
Not necessarily, but generally they were one and the same. You had a few Tories that might have sympathized with the revolution, partly because it might have been economically expedient for them or beneficial for them. And you would have had a lot of loyalists who would have remained loyal to the crown regardless of their politics because tradition, family, values, all those different kinds of things. Remember, these are Englishmen that are starting this revolution. They're not Americans. They're Englishmen.
So Tory is just one party of the British political system at the time. Okay.
Right.
I didn't know that. So what's a Federalist?
So a Federalist would have been a political party after the Revolution where Americans are kind of deciding what kind of government, what our Constitution should look like. A Federalist would have been one who would have been a more centralized government, more power to the federal government. An Anti-Federalist would have been someone who would have been more about distributing power to the states.
Two Federalists.
Federalist George Washington. Yeah.
And?
John Adams.
And if you weren't a Federalist, you were a?
Anti-Federalist.
Okay. And that would be?
That would be like Thomas Jefferson.
And
mainly Thomas Jefferson, the big dirt.
Okay.
Of course, nobody likes to be anti anything. So in a good marketing campaign, they became the Republican Democrats under Jefferson. And so that's how we kind of get the Democratic tradition that way.
Okay, very good. Well, with those definitions now kind of straightened out, define for me the Enlightenment.
Okay, so the Enlightenment is a very interesting kind of intellectual movement that goes on kind of on the heels of the Scientific Revolution as Sir Isaac Newton is kind of going through the laws of gravity and we're kind of explaining how the universe works. Well, the Enlightenment is a response to that world of superstition. We don't understand the world of superstition in the Dark Ages or whatever. We don't understand how the sun goes around. We don't understand how crops grow. We don't understand any of those things. That's a superstitious kind of world. And so,
yeah, I mean, the world is round at this point, is only like a 300-year-old belief.
Yeah, but things like, you know, kings are kings because God says that they're kings, and these kind of things. That's the superstitious kind of world. And so the Scientific Revolution gets people thinking, well, gosh, if we can understand the universe with logic and reason, maybe there's some other things we can question, like power and authoritarianism and how we get along with each other and those kind of things. And so the Enlightenment was really kind of a movement that stemmed from these kind of ideas that the universe is intelligible, it's understandable, that we have reason, we can figure these things out if we use our scientific kind of ways, that perhaps we can understand these things, and so we can challenge things like how does the universe work and who's in charge of it and how do people be in charge of others and those kind of things. And so our great political thinkers like John Locke or whatnot are all Enlightenment people because they say, you know, we don't need an absolute king who says I'm king because of divine right. We say, well, the people give you that power to govern us and those kind of things. And so the Enlightenment is really about kind of making that shift from that superstitious world to the enlightened world. We're no longer in the dark about how the universe works. We're now enlightened about it.
Well, you've just recently completed a trip through Europe. Jennifer and I have been there once. And, you know, I've read in history books the kings and the serfs and all of that. But it wasn't until I really got there to see what the German royalty built on the backs of the citizens and how they lived in light of how everyone else lived just on the other side of the castle wall. And it was architecturally, it was absolutely unbelievable. But politically, I just kept shaking my head saying, I am so grateful for being born in the United States of America with all its problems.
Mm-hmm.
That royalty thing, I mean, we really had to wake up to the day that it doesn't have to be this way.
Right, and that's that idea of self-government, that we have those inalienable rights of life, liberty, and property. And government's function is to protect those things, to give us opportunity to engage in those things, not to for the benefit of the king or the benefit of a monarchy or somebody else, that your hard work and stuff is for them. No, your hard work should be for you. And so those kind of Enlightenment principles are the foundation of what our founding fathers really believed, really kind of came to in that revolutionary period. A lot of people, and last year we talked a lot about kind of the economic reasons why for the revolution, but this time we're going to talk a little bit about kind of that Enlightenment, maybe a little bit more kind of religious, or at least kind of the belief systems of our founding fathers this year.
Well, I grew up being told we were a Judeo-Christian nation. We were founded on Judeo-Christian. And I hear more and more and more how that concept's being challenged. What was the religion of the signers of the Declaration of Independence?
Well, that's a really good question because, you know, we had Presbyterians and we had Episcopalians, we had Anglicans, we had those who were believers in God, that God was kind of a cosmic watchmaker who set things into motion and then let providence and reason and things kind of take over. We had others that believed that God intervened in our lives in a really more modern way that we kind of think about. We had a variety, big spectrum of people with religious beliefs. But yet, the commonly our founding fathers did believe in some way, some form, that there was, that there is a God, and that God chose them, chose that time, and put these things together for this revolution to happen. It was then and that time. And so, you know, I grew up being told not to talk about politics and religion. And yet, I think today we're going to end up talking about politics and religion.
We are. We're going to have fun doing it, too.
Yes.
But it really was, truly, when you study the events that led, I mean, just the things that had to fall in place for us to win the war. It took weather. It took extenuating circumstances. It took luck.
And even George Washington acknowledged that providence when he resigned his commission. He recognized that that it wasn't just him leading the army. It just wasn't his support that he got from Congress and from men and whatnot. That there was something heavenly. There was something bigger at stake and at work here. And so you're absolutely right. It was an appointed time and appointed place. And so perhaps this year for July the 4th, we think a little bit more about that.
Yeah, we should. We really should. And the bigness of George Washington, his willingness to step down is a huge indication of his bigness. And when we come back, I want to talk about that, because you are the founding father, the father of a nation. You're given the generalship of the army. You're given the presidency of the entire nation. And it was all he could do to get home as quick as he could, step down, and let the republic continue. Mm-hmm. More with Dr. David Dean, assistant professor from Grand Canyon University, right here on Rosie on the House, in our little study, our little history of the Declaration of Independence, when in the course of human events.